Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about light. You know, like light from the sun, moon, and stars, or the light from God's Word. Light is an important concept for those of us who have eyes. Oh, of course, we all have eyes, but then some of us have more than one set of eyes. Most people on earth have eyes that can see physical things, and that's all they can see. But then there are we Christians who have an extra set of eyes. And through these spiritual eyes, we can see things in the spiritual realm that the rest of the world can't see at all. If it wasn't for our spiritual eyesight, we couldn't understand the wonderful things of God. Most of the world walks around in darkness. At least, they do in the sense of being in spiritual darkness. We who are Christians have the light of God, and therefore we can rejoice in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. The light of God's Word is truly an awesome thing. When we read the Bible, we're blessed by the light from God's Word, and the Word of God is revealed to us by the life of Christ and by the Holy Spirit of God. The wicked don't see this light like we do, and they pretty much walk around in darkness in this world. Oh, sure, they have the light from the sun, moon, and stars, and these physical lights help them to go about their daily physical lives and accomplish the works they do, but they don't have the spiritual light from God because all they can see is the light of the sun, the light of the moon, and the light of the stars. The sun, moon, and stars in Scripture represent the physical source of man's knowledge. Mankind has created a world which works quite well in the physical sense, but they are actually blind. As Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, we have blind leaders who are leading blind people. And when the blind lead the blind, they will eventually fall into the ditch. If you were a blind person, you would have to feel around for things that you wanted, and you'd also have to have someone lead you around if you ever went into an area that you weren't familiar with. Have you ever played at being blind? Have you ever closed your eyes and tried to walk around your house and see how well you could navigate it? I'm pretty sure we've all tried this at one time or another. When we were kids, we would try things like this as we grew up, because we always needed to experience different things in order to understand our own social universe a little bit better. Blindness is a severe handicap. Of course, there have been many inventions for the blind, such as seeing eye dogs, walking canes, color-coordinated utensils for those who have not lost their sight completely, the Braille reading system, talking books, and probably quite a few other things that most of us aren't even aware of. But being blind is not an easy thing. When the eyesight begins to go and the darkness comes on, a person slows down. A blind person can't drive a car, nor can they walk without excessive care, and they can't run at all unless they are on a special running track or treadmill because they always have the difficulty of maneuvering around obstacles. Now, if you stop to think a minute, blindness in the physical sense is much like blindness in the spiritual sense. When you're blind in the spiritual sense, you can't make much headway in the things of God. If your spiritual eyes are lacking good eyesight, then you're going to have a difficult time maneuvering around spiritual obstacles. That's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in one sense, is like our spiritual guide dog, which helps us to cross the road against traffic and helps us to find our way home. The Holy Spirit is our guide, but the eyesight the Holy Spirit helps us with is spiritual eyesight. And we see with spiritual eyes because we gain a knowledge of the truth of God. It is God's Holy Spirit which helps us to see the knowledge of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we would be lost. We would be stumbling around and falling down all the time. Sure, we could get back up, but sooner or later, if you stumble around and fall down long enough, one of those times you won't get back up. We need all the spiritual help we can get. When we get spiritual understanding, it helps us to quicken our pace and to even run with the Word of God. The spiritual eyesight that comes from God by His Holy Spirit allows us to see the pathway clearly and to keep ourselves from danger. Spiritual eyesight is an absolute must if you're going to navigate the spiritual realm of God. But then, what do the rest of earth people do who don't have the spiritual light of God shining on them? How do they live lives? Aren't they in danger of falling off the spiritual pathway that leads to heaven? Sure, of course they're in danger. But the only solution for them is to either receive God and live, or to reject God and die. If they reject God, they will eventually end up falling into the pit, or the abyss, as the Bible refers to that place of utter darkness. That's where the spiritually blind end up. And once they fall into the pit, they have no chance to come back out, for the pit is bottomless. They will fall into darkness, and the darkness will surround them forever. In the meantime, the unsaved go through life focusing their eyes on physical things. That's all they can see. Without the light of God's Word, they can't walk in the spiritual pathways of God, so they have to occupy themselves with the things of this world. But then, most of the people of this world have become really good at what they do. They have focused on the task of ordering their lives according to the physical light that our physical sun, moon, and stars bring to them. In fact, most of the people of earth don't realize there is any other kind of light. To them, the light of God doesn't even exist. To them, the only light in this world is the sun, moon, and stars. Their knowledge is physical knowledge, not spiritual knowledge. You know, 2 + 2 = 4, or Einstein's theory of relativity, or 64-bit computer processing, or whatever. The knowledge of the world is knowledge that they see with their physical eyes. Everything the people of this world see is based on the order of the universe in strictly physical terms. Everything they invent is based on the knowledge of physical light. When they can comprehend things, they can only comprehend them in physical ways. They are limited to knowledge that is based on physical knowledge. The spiritual knowledge of heavenly things is not seen by them because they have no spiritual eyes with which to see. You as a Christian are very fortunate. If you are a Christian, you have spiritual eyes. You can comprehend things in the spiritual realm that non-Christians couldn't even begin to comprehend. In the spiritual sense, you as a Christian can comprehend planting a spiritual seed of the Word of God. And as a Christian, you can comprehend seeing that spiritual seed of the Word of God grow up until it bears fruit. You know that the fruit it bears is another soul for God's kingdom, but the non-Christians of this earth can't see that. You, as a Christian, can see the kingdom of God. You can even see the church, the body of Christ, as it lives and moves together on the earth. But the non-Christians cannot see these things. They can see computers, and they can see the creation of automobiles. They can see how they can drive a car across town, and they can see how they can make a microwave bake a potato. As a Christian, you can see these things too because you have two sets of eyes. But the non-Christians only have one set of eyes to see with, and if they lost their physical knowledge of where things were and how things operated, they would be in big trouble because they would be blind. If this happened to you as a Christian, you would not be blind. Sure, you'd be blind in the physical sense, and you wouldn't be able to drive your car across town, but you would still be able to operate just fine in the spiritual realm of God because you have spiritual eyes as well as physical eyes. Non-Christian people of this world trust in their physical eyesight. Most of them go around in spiritual blindness but don't really care because they have learned to trust in the physical knowledge they have. They don't seem to care that their soul is in danger as long as they can turn the key in their car and push the button on the TV remote control. As long as science continues to come up with medical cures, the non-Christian world isn't too concerned with the Christian realm of heavenly things. They're concerned with inventions in the physical realm and cures for cancer and the common cold. They're concerned with all the things that are understood from a literal or physical viewpoint. For the earth people who don't have the ability to see with spiritual eyesight, the only knowledge they have is from a physical view. The light that lights up their understanding is not the light from God, but the physical light of this universe. To them, God's light is non-existent, and they only comprehend the things that can be seen with earthly eyes. Their knowledge base is not a knowledge base of heavenly things, nor is it a knowledge base that is built from the light from God's Word. Their light is the sun, moon, and stars. That's all the light they know. It is the sun, moon, and stars that they rely on. It is the light of this physical world that they put their trust in. But one day soon, the light they depend on will be taken away from them, and then what will they do? In Scripture, the sun, moon, and stars represent the sight that flesh and blood humans can see by. All their knowledge, therefore, is based on the physical understanding. They can operate in the fleshly realm, but not in the spiritual realm. They can't see the glory of God that you and I can see. All they can see is how electronic circuitry works and how important their job is. The present world we live in has a prince, and Satan is that prince. He is the prince of the power of the air. We Christians have God as the ruler of our spiritual kingdom, but the people of earth who do not serve the living God only have Satan as their king. And Satan rules in the physical manipulation of Earth's elements. Scientists manipulate the elements of Earth, creating inventions, but not by the Spirit of God. They only create by the physical light. Our sun is a light that shines on the Earth, and it gives light to all the world, but only in a physical sense. If the light of the sun were to be taken away, the whole world would grope in darkness, trying to find their way. Here's something to think about. The Bible tells us very clearly, and in many portions of Scripture, that when the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, the sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars will withdraw their shining. This is a reference to the decrease of man's physical understanding. Right now, in this present time, the non-Christian world is eating high on the hog. Science and technology is growing at such a rapid rate that most inventions are out of date before they even reach the market. But just think what would happen if the knowledge of man was suddenly hindered. Imagine what this world would be like if all of a sudden the automobiles were to stop working. Or computer chips all started to malfunction at once. There would be extreme chaos. The Bible refers to a time that the sun and moon will be darkened and that the people of earth who do not know God will suddenly find themselves having problems that can't be fixed. Of course, problems are common, but generally speaking, mankind solves problems and keeps on going. But when God finally brings to pass the prophetical event of the sun and moon darkening, the earth will go into turmoil such as it has never experienced before. Matthew 24:29 tells us that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven. It also states very plainly that this event will take place immediately after the greatest tribulation to God's people that the world has ever seen. When the sun and moon darken, the whole earth will begin to experience a lack of light. No, not a dimness in the actual illumination of the sun, but a dimness to man's knowledge. Mankind sees and understands in physical terms. And the Bible's reference to the sun and moon darkening refers to all those things in this world which are physical in nature instead of spiritual. Man's understanding, his knowledge, will grow dim. Instead of science and technology growing at unprecedented speed, it will grow to a crawl. The things that mankind has been able to engineer so far will begin to fail them. Instead of equations bringing about accurate results, the equations will end up in a dead end. It may be that the computers will begin to malfunction, or the automobiles will begin to develop fuel problems. Transportation may fail en masse, and known physical laws of Earth may change, creating a chaos of unprecedented proportions. Isaiah 28, verses 17 through 19, says, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lives, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report." I believe these verses are a direct reference to this prophesied time, and that the world will have unprecedented trouble, and that the problems which arise will not be able to be solved because it is God who is taking away man's power. Up until this time, mankind will have learned to trust in the strength of their own hands. But when God brings a dimness to man's understanding and darkness to the powers of earth, the earth will, as it says in Isaiah 24:20, weave to and fro like a drunk man. Mankind has placed their trust in the things of this world. As long as they live in a physical world under the canopy of the sun, moon, and stars, they seem to be doing well. The people of Earth are able to control the course of their lives by manipulating the elements of the Earth and making almost anything they want to make. God Himself referred to the concept of mankind being able to create anything that came into their imaginations. This was in Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel. God confused the language of the people building this tower because they tried to exalt themselves by the strength of their own hands. However, the people of Earth have overcome the difficulty of the language barrier, and once again, they are building themselves upward and trying to establish themselves as a people without the help of God. Science and technology does not rely on God for its power, but relies on the elements of earth. The world has been set in their hearts, and because they trust in the world, they cannot see with the spiritual eyes that God has given to His people. When the world begins to experience the dimming of knowledge, and when the elements begin to deviate from their recognized order, the world will begin to grow frustrated as never before. This will be a time of extreme chaos, but not for the Christian. You, as a Christian, have something that can keep you from the destruction that will come upon the earth. You have spiritual eyes that can see a kingdom of peace and serenity that the other people of earth can't see. You have the knowledge of God that comes from the light of God's Word. The things you have built with your knowledge of the Word of God will not fail, for they have a sure foundation. The things you have built have not been built on the sands of the sea, but on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Fear only comes to those who believe they are going to lose something. When the world begins to wobble and weave to and fro like a drunkard, you will recognize that these are the signs of the times and that it is time to look up, for your salvation draws near. This will be a time of great rejoicing for God's people in anticipation of the imminent arrival of Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Now once again, here's Randy.
I'd like to leave you with some scriptures to help you understand the darkening of the sun, moon, and stars. I've already quoted the verse in Matthew 24:29, which says that the event of the sun and moon darkening and the stars falling from heaven will take place immediately after the greatest tribulation to God's people in the history of the world. But I would like you to also listen to the scripture of Joel 2:31. It says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." Notice that these two scriptures, Matthew 24:29 and Joel 2:31, refer to the sun and moon darkening. Matthew explains that the sun and moon are darkened after the great tribulation, and Joel explains that the sun and moon are darkened before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Because the event of the sun and moon darkening takes place between the great tribulation and the great and terrible day of the Lord, then we can easily see that the great tribulation and the great and terrible day of the Lord are two separate things. The sun and moon darkening is the prophetical event which separates them. The great tribulation takes place first, then the sun and moon are darkened, and then the great day of the Lord's terrible wrath takes place. When our trial period is over on this earth, the rest of mankind will begin their own trial period. As they have spoiled us, we will then begin to spoil them. When we have finally been purified with the fire of God, as gold and silver is tried in the fire, we will be given white robes signifying our righteousness. This is referred to in the fifth seal of Revelation. It is the sixth seal which tells us that the sun and moon are darkened. Therefore, because the event of the sun and moon darkening takes place at the sixth seal, according to Revelation 6:12, and because Matthew 24:29 tells us that the great tribulation ends just prior to the darkening of the sun and the moon, we know that the sixth seal is the dividing line between the great tribulation on the one hand and the great and terrible day of the Lord's wrath on the other hand. The great tribulation is taking place right now. No, it is not necessarily the physical tribulation experienced for thousands of years, but it is a spiritual attack against our souls by the forces of Satan's power of the elements of earth. It is the science and technology which attempts to overwhelm Christians. Every possible weapon is being aimed against us and our children, trying desperately to destroy us. Television, movies, and a multitude of other forms of fleshly entertainment are designed to destroy the light of God's Word. if we Christians did not have an extra set of eyes with which we can see into God's heavenly spiritual realm, we would all give up in despair. The tribulation against the saints of God is extreme, but when the time comes for the Lord of heaven to stand up, we will no longer be led like lambs to the slaughter. When the sun and moon darken, the rest of the world will begin to experience all the frustration Christians have felt for years. It will be a great and terrible day of the Lord's wrath. Christians will not experience the wrath of God, for we will experience the victory of Christ. The spoils of earth will soon be ours, and the wicked will be cast out into their eternal darkness forever.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 118, Sun and Moon Darkening. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.